God, we're here, Lord God, to give you our very best. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see each of you in the house of the Lord here today. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the opportunities that exist within this service here this morning. Amen. Let's put our trust and confidence in God. Why don't you turn and wave to somebody? Welcome them to the house of the Lord here today. It's good to see you. Amen. Let's worship God together in Jesus' holy name. Today, a miracle could happen in this place. A miracle could happen in this place today. Yes, it can. It it could happen here today. Oh, would you reach out to give and to receive everything that you can to God and from God?
With Jesus, it will happen. With Jesus, it will happen in this place. Broken eyes are open. Miracles are in this place. Hearts are mended. Grace extended.
If somebody would step out in faith, if somebody would believe, if you would dare to believe, if you would dare to have confidence, if you would dare to trust God today. The Holy Ghost here right now. Can anybody besides me sense and discern that the presence of God is here to move and to breathe life into this service, to breathe life into somebody's heart? Oh, if you would just entertain His presence right now. If you would just entertain His presence right now. If you would just dare to have faith in the Holy Ghost. Every eye closed right now. Every eye closed. Every heart open. Come in and change me, God. Your prayer, God, breathe in this service. Breathe upon our hearts. breathe into our lives. God, change me at the core of who I am. Say that right now. You are my strong tower. You're my rock, my fortress. God, I trust in you today. God, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the tribulation, God. Would you just lift up a hand right now? Make that your prayer in this place today. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd breathe upon me right now. Lord God, I need your presence and your power in this place, God, today. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for each of you that are here in the house of the Lord with us today. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. Amen. As you're turning there, I want to just mention that we're going to have a little bit of an adjustment to our schedule this week. There are going to be many, many families out of town because of spring break and different events that are going on. So this week, Tuesday night, there will be our regular time of prayer. And then Thursday night, we will not have service. But if you're in town, I would encourage you to swing by the church during that service time and spend some time worshiping the Lord on your own. Amen. Is that all right tonight? Or today? I guess it's not nighttime yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I come to you today with a message upon my heart that it's a message that I preached the first time almost 20 years ago, but as I was in prayer and meditation this morning, felt very much an urgency to preach this message in this service here today. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 9, the word of the Lord says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them." This is one of the Ten Commandments. "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God," look at this, "visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse number 14. The word of the Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 14. Now lo, if he begat a son, and seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like. And it goes down through verses 15 and 16 and 17. Talks about the things that he saw his father do, and he changed his ways, and he decided not to do those things. Look at the second half there. Says, he shall not die. Hath executed my judgments and walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Verse 18. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Verse 19. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Amen. Would you help me pray here today? We need the anointing of God to help minister to our hearts and souls in this place today. Help me pray. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read these verses this morning, they really, in my mind, demonstrate two main points. Number one is that the impact that a parent has on the spiritual outcome of their children. Let me say that again. The impact that a parent has on the spiritual outcome of their children. And number two, and that is that regardless of that influence, each person will be judged according to his or her own behavior. Did you catch that today? All right? These are important premises, a thesis, if you will, of what I really want to preach to you about today. Because mom and dad, and even young adult or child, I want you to understand that you are a tremendous influence in your children's lives. Amen. And children, your parents have a tremendous influence in who you are today spiritually. But at the end of the day, When you stand before God, you cannot use that as an excuse for not living for God. You are going to have to make up your own mind and decide for yourself. Whatever influences may have been, amen, God is giving you an opportunity today to change, amen, that influence and outcome in your life. Praise God. So, when I think about our behavior as human beings, I think about three main areas that influence our behavior and our conduct and our attitude and the things that make us who we are. First of all, I believe that our genetic makeup has a significant influence on our behavior and our conduct. I'll tell you that it's scary. It is scary to look at our children and to see how much like us they really are. There was a time when Michael Austin was so big. In fact, if he wanted to deny me as his father, there's no way he could do so, even if he wanted. But when he was about this old, we were at a conference. Brother Kuhn was there. And Brother Kuhn saw Michael Austin. And he turned and he looked at me and he grabbed a hold of Michael Austin and he said, son, if God doesn't hurry up and heal you, you're going to end up looking like your daddy. Amen. It doesn't look like God answered that prayer request, unfortunately. Amen. Hopefully, if there were any favorable genes in that regard, he'll obtain those. Amen. And God will purge him of the rest. But I will tell you that when it comes to our children, there's just some things they come by honestly, right? They can't help it, if you will. I remember one time when I got pretty disgusted at something and was frustrated and showed my disgust and disdain, and the very expression on my face while I was so aggravated about this instance or whatever, a friend of mine started laughing at me. I thought, what are you laughing at? He said, Michael Austin looks the same exact way when he gets frustrated about things too. And the fact of the matter is he comes by it honestly, right? Unfortunately. There are personalities, there are traits, there are characteristics, there are behaviors, there are habits. I have a friend who was really separated from his father for almost all of his life and reconnected with his dad when he was very much advanced. I think in his 30s before he reconnected with his dad, and they were sitting at the dinner table. His dad grabbed the salt shaker and salted his food. And our friend said, I couldn't believe that I shake salt on my food exactly the way my dad did. There must have been something unique about it. But here's the thing is that is a behavior. There's something about it. How does that happen? His dad never really even had influence in his life, but there were characteristics and behaviors that were exactly identical without having a prevailing influence in his life. Amen. And so, whereas you look at pictures of me, and we've been going through some of that lately, and at different stages of my life, you can see my boys at the various ages of my upbringing, and you can see both of them very, very clearly in those pictures. Unfortunately for Miles, he has my sense of humor. Case in point, amen. Poor thing. I really please pray for Miles that God would heal him, amen, from his father's influence. But even though we can be humored by these similarities, what most are my faults that I know all too well. Because whereas there are particular behaviors or nuances or characteristics or attitudes that are identical to me that we can laugh and chuckle about, I'm afraid to say that I know that there are too many things about me that I know all too well, that I hope and pray to God that they never, ever, ever become like me. God, help us here today. We need to understand and realize the impact of our behavior, of our genetics, of our upbringing, of our environment, which is the second thing that causes or influences our behavior, is the environment in which we were raised. There's our genetic makeup, things that are out of our control. But there's the environment that we're raised up in as well, that tremendously, tremendously influences the behavior in our lives. Many times people on welfare will raise children who live their lives on welfare. But the children are products of the environment in which they were raised. Unfortunately, we see many times that a parent that has a bad habit, that will see that their children will grow up to be an adult and embrace those same bad habits, those same characteristics, those same dysfunctions that their parent embraced and had. But on the flip side, isn't it amazing that how doctors raise children who become doctors, and lawyers raise children who become lawyers, and preachers raise children who many times or sometimes become preachers. Amen. So recognizing the fact of the influence that the environment has upon an individual. There was an ad council in North Carolina way back when. They had a billboard up on alongside the road. And there you'd see a child on that billboard. And they had their cap and gown as they're graduating from high school or college. And basically what they were advocating, because of the high dropout rates in certain demographics in the community, what they were trying to advocate is that if you could just finish school, if you could get your diploma, if you could go on to college and get your degree, that you could change your family tree forever. Amen. And so the expression or the slogan at the bottom of this billboard said, "Break the cycle. Break the cycle." And that is what I'm trying to preach to somebody here today. Amen. That regardless of your genetics, that regardless of the atmosphere that you were brought up in, amen, that life changes that you make could change your family tree forever. Amen. I've come to preach to somebody that it's time to break the cycle in your life. It's time to break the generational curses that seem to keep coming up and pulling you down and destroying you time after time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to share with you some scriptural examples where we see these cycles of sin occurring in people's lives. These are prominent characters within Scripture. But when we look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we can see where Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, which was in part true, but he said it to deceive. We see that later, and that happened in Genesis 20. In Genesis 26, Isaac tells the same lie about Rebekah. And when Abraham had told his lie, Isaac had not even been born yet. But there was a culture within that family of particular deception. Amen. We see that Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. And we see that Jacob, the name Jacob, means a conniver or a deceiver. What is it? He turned out just like his parents. He turned out just like his grandparents. Amen. He was a deceiver. He was a conniver. And when you read about Jacob's children, you see that they were just as deceptive and just as conniving as Jacob had been. When you look at David and his scandalous dynasty, amen, we see that the Bible tells us of David, that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a military genius, a musical master, an incredible engineer. Amen. It was said of David that God said, "My mercy shall not depart away from him." But when David fell into adulterous and murderous sin concerning Bathsheba, he opened up the floodgate of sin into his family and his home. Oh God, help us today. Generations down the lineage of David were influenced by this one indiscretion. As big as it was, he opened it up to his entire family. Amen. You consider the judgment that was about David's newborn son, the incestuous rape and vindictive murder within his children, the rebellion and the revolt of his sons, and Solomon lost his life because he had been allowed himself to be allured by the women that he had married and lusted after. Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. I'm trying to establish and build the case, even from Scripture, where you can see the impact, the negative impact of one generation to another. And mom and dad and boys and girls, I want you to know we're not impervious to this. We're not immune from this. This influences us as well. Moms and dad, you need to understand that your influence upon your children has tremendous impact for the good and for the bad. And we need to understand, amen, that we have a responsibility and an opportunity to do something about that here today. Amen. In Psalm chapter 51, we read about David's confession and psalm of repentance. And a couple of things that strike me about his psalm of repentance in Psalm number 51 is one of the things that strikes me is how narrow-minded he was. Let's look at some of this. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin, and cleanse me from mine iniquity. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Look at verse number 4. He says, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now hold on, David. Are you telling me that sin was only against God? Oh no, let me tell you, sir, ma'am, that when you sin, your sin is never only against God. When you sin, you are sinning against your family and those who are impacted by it. Amen. Well, David's sin affected Bathsheba. Amen. David's sin affected Uriah. David's sin affected a newborn child. David's sin affected his entire kingdom. Amen. David's sin affected all of his children. Oh, David, don't you tell me today that your sin was only against God. Sir, ma'am, I need you to have a revelation today that when your heart is full of iniquity, you are never just sinning against God, but your sin is detrimental to your family. Your sin is detrimental, amen, to those who are around you. There's little eyes that are looking at you. You might think, but my sin is in secret. And it may be, that nobody knows it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come out in your spirit. It's going to come out in your attitude. It's going to come out in your behavior. It's going to create tension in your relationships. It's going to destroy you and your family if you don't humble yourself and submit yourself to God. So the thing that first of all strikes me is David's narrow-mindedness in his confession. "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now I'm going to tell you there is an element of truth in that the ultimate forgiveness that David needed is from God. Amen? But he goes on in verse 5, and this is a second thing that strikes me about his confession. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What strikes me about this is how past sin in generations gone by influenced David's decisions even in his adult life. The scripture tells us, if you go back and read the genealogy of David's lineage, that within that lineage of Judah, he went into a prostitute who is his daughter-in-law disguised. Had a child. That child was David's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad. I might have gotten some of the greats out of order. The point of the matter is this, and that is, there was a generational curse. There was a generational cycle. There was something that had been passed down from generation to generation. And here we see this old generational sin crop up once again in David's life. Oh, God help us today. That's it. God help us today. Amen. God help us today. Because I've come to give hope to somebody here today that we can break the cycle. That we can break the cycle of those past sins. We don't have to live in the sins of our parents. We don't have to live in the sins of our great-grandparents. We can break the cycle of those sins in our lives today. Let's talk about contemporary cycles of sin. We can see the clear biblical example in Scripture of how cycles of sin are passed on from one generation to another. But what about not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, but what about people named Tim, or Scott, or Stephen, or Megan? How about Tim, who's a reputable contractor in his town, but he was raised in a home where his family was an alcoholic and a gambler. But the very thing he despised in his dad, he now participates in, leaving his own children neglected by supporting his own habits. And hey, how many of you, when you were a child, you heard your mom say something, mom or dad say something to you, you hated that. When I'm a parent, I'm never going to say that. And lo and behold, when you had children, oh Lord, all of a sudden, those things that you hated about parenting from your parents now become the staple of the way you parent your children. Oh God, help us here today. I didn't even get a witness. Sure. So I would have heard at least one or two amens. What about Stephen, who was introduced to pornography by a stepdad at the age of 11 and now keeps it hidden around his own house, thinking that his own son won't see it when he comes to visit on the weekend? Oh God, do you see the cycle of sin? And how it influences from generation to generation. And it's so sad when we look and we see people who despise the attitudes and the attributes and the characteristics of a particular parent, but they become the very thing that they despised in their own parent. What about Megan, who's a Sunday school teacher at her church? And though she preaches out to the kids in her classes, when she gets home, she's verbally and emotionally abusive to her own kids. And even though it's not close to the abuse that she received by her parents when she was growing up, do any of these hit close to home? Maybe I didn't name your scenario, but I've got a feeling that each and every one of us, that we can look back on our upbringing. We can look back at our grandparents. We can look back at our own lives. And we can see where there were cycles of sin. Cycles of behavior. That being passed down from one generation to another. Can I preach to somebody today that it's time to break the cycle? To the daddy who cusses out his son for using the F word at school, it's time to break the cycle. For the mama who scolds a child for smoking with a cigarette in her own hands, it's time to break the cycle. Amen. Amen. Can I just say this today? That if you don't want your kids to do it, then you shouldn't do it yourself. Amen. Can I say that again? If you don't want your kids to do it, then you better not do it yourself. Why? Because you're creating a cycle. You're creating an influence. And I'm preaching to somebody, it's time to break that cycle in our lives. If we take a close, hard look, an honest look at our lives today, we could see the things that we've allowed to be carried over from our old nature before our conversion. Iniquities that are curses to our children and grandchildren to come. I want to declare in the authority of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus Christ that it's time to break the cycle in your life. Why was Joseph the son of Jacob, whose brothers were scoundrels and connivers and deceivers, and I could go on and on and on. Why was Joseph so different from his brothers? I have a theory. The Bible doesn't state this explicitly. But when you read about Jacob, there came a point in Jacob's life where when he was crossing over a river and having to face his past, that before he crossed over that river, the Bible says that he had a wrestling match with an angel. There are some people who say that he was wrestling with himself. I don't know the theology behind all that. All I know is that while Jacob was wrestling this angel, a being that was of much greater strength and power than him, there was something in his heart that grabbed a hold of that angel. That angel. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I think there was something in his heart and his life that said, something's going to have to change here. I can't keep going on like this. And when he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me, that angel confronted his past. He said, what is your name? What is your name? And in that loaded question, Jacob had to confess who he was. I am Jacob. I am that liar. I am that deceiver. I am that conniver. I have lived up to my name. I have done what my name implies. This is the person that I have been. But when he confessed who he was, that angel said, oh, nope, you're no longer Jacob. Amen. But now you're Israel. You are a prince with God. And I'm here to preach to somebody today that the reason why Joseph was different, and let me back up, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that angel touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and when he got up, not only was he changing his character, but he started to walk with a limp. It was a constant reminder of that wrestling match that he had, where he had to confront his past, to confront who he was. And so when we look to say, why was Joseph different? The reason why is because he only knew his daddy walked with a limp. The most prevailing influence, amen, that Jacob had in Joseph's life was conversion experience. And sir or ma'am, mom and dad, I'm trying to preach to somebody here today that you can break the cycle in your life. It's not too late for you to be changed. It's not too late for you to be converted. It's not too late for you to have a difference in your family's life. It's time to break the cycle, somebody, today. It's time to break the cycle. The third behavior. The third cause of our behavior. One was genetics. Two was environment. But the third is our own free will and our ability to make choices for ourselves. And really today, that's what you're here confronted with, is the ability to make a choice. That even though that's what my daddy did, even though that's what my mama did, even though that was a prevailing influence in my life growing up, today I'm choosing different. Today I can see the error of all that. Today I can look at that and make a choice for myself and say, I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. I want you to know it's certainly possible to be drowned by the influences of the role models and examples in our lives. But today I want to share a story about a man who is a young boy raised in a shipping town on the East Coast. He had a loving family, but they suffered from his daddy's smoking and gambling habit. His father was a hardworking man who made good money for the time period, but he ended up wasting it on a deck of cards and the rolling of dice. Eventually, his parents divorced. He was forced to move in with his grandmother, where he mostly had to fend for himself. He lacked a positive role model. He'd followed the examples in his life, he certainly would have gone down the wrong road. But when he was a 16-year-old boy, he was walking by a house that happened to be having a prayer meeting. And he stepped inside and got a hold of God, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost in the living room of a man's house in his neighborhood. And as we look back over his life, Pastor Jesse Williams was a prevailing influence in my life, in my wife's life, in her parents' life. Built a wonderful church during his generation. And I'm here to tell you that it all changed as a 16-year-old boy when God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he started to set his eyes on Jesus Christ, and good and godly men became an influence upon him. We can see how in just this one man, this one man's decision broke the cycle of sin in his life. I've come to preach to somebody here today that you can break the cycle in your life here today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands and close your eyes. And if you feel so led, to make your way to this altar here this morning. And let's let God break some cycles. Let's let God break some chains. Let's let God turn some things around. Oh God, help us here today to do your will, mighty God. Let the power of your Spirit prevail in this service here today, God. Help us to break the cycle. Help us, God, to break the cycle in our lives. Myself at times, even in my late 40s, struggling. But we must be reminded again and again that we now have a choice. What choice are you going to make? What path are you going to choose? Are you going to let those iniquities of generations gone by prevail in your life today? Or are you going to make a decision to say, no, the buck stops here. I'm going to break that cycle. My kids don't have to live that way. My grandchildren don't have to be like that. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, come on, somebody, cry out to God. What is lingering in your heart? What is lingering in your spirit today? believe that God's affirming His Word in somebody's heart right now. God's affirming His Word. God's Spirit is here to bear witness that you can truly break the cycles in your life today. Can you hear that right now? The shackles of your past. The shackles of generation gone by. They're falling. They're breaking. God's got a brighter future ahead of you. God's got a better way for you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Each one of us needs to leave here today. Each one of us needs to leave here today. Changed. Amen. We don't have to live under the shackles of past generations in our lives. There's one thing that trumps genetics. There's one thing that trumps your environment. And that one thing is your choice today. Your choice. We can choose. We can walk away from here to say, you know what? I'm not going to let those things have prevailing influence in my life today. I'm breaking the cycle. I'm going to be the one that pivots the rest of my family tree. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for coming today. Good service. I don't know about your Sunday school class, but ours was good. Ours was good. Amen. We love y'all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this service today. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget prayer Tuesday night, prayer Thursday night. We'll resume Sunday school Sunday morning. Amen. Let's come expecting God to do great things. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.